When I got my construction management degree at the University of Arkansas, Little Rock, one of my first classes, the chair of the department was teaching it. He goes, "All of y'all need to become friends with Don because he's either the smartest person in this room or the dumbest person in this room, because he's going to try to combine the two most hated professions in this country, law and construction, into one."
Hey everybody, I'm Evan Farmer, and welcome to Disaster Diaries. I'm here with my co-host, Andy, and we're here to interview people who have literally lost everything and survived to tell us how they rebuilt.
I'm Andy, and we're diving into the human side of disaster recovery. The grief, the grit, and the guts it takes to start over.
All right, so thanks for tuning in, and without further ado, let's jump into today's episode. Hey, if you shop at Home Depot, this is a no-brainer. Our free Build SOS program unlocks verified discounts, often up to 30%, plus access to exclusive deals on tools and materials. It is especially useful for contractors, handymen, and DIYers who buy regularly. No fees, no gimmicks, just better prices at checkout. All you have to do is click the link below or in the show notes that says Build SOS with Home Depot to start saving. So today's episode is Don Overton, and his story stands apart from almost everyone we've spoken with. Don lost his home to a tornado, but he is one of the rare people who did pretty much everything right after disaster struck. That's not luck. Don is both a real estate attorney and a licensed contractor, which gave him a clear, informed view of what actually matters in the hours, days, and months after you lose a home. So this episode is pretty much a how-to guide for rebuilding, not just the structure, but your life. And it is packed with hard-earned lessons that can save you time, money, and years of pain if you ever face a natural disaster yourself. So get out a notepad on this one, because you're going to want to take notes.
So Don, thanks for joining us. And I want to take a step back and talk a little bit about how I met you, and I met you one time before this. So we were on a call with Billy Ward, the chairman of the board of Build SOS, and he had brought Don in, and we were chatting about what Build SOS does. And as sometimes happens, the person we were chatting with said, "You know what? I've got a story myself." And then you started talking about one of the most interesting stories I'd heard, and I've heard a few, on disasters. And that's because I walked away thinking, man, this guy did almost everything right, at least that I can tell. So you have knowledge, you have the experience and the training professionally, and also maybe just through your experience, to know what to do and to pull all those right levers as something is happening to you. So I was fascinated to bring you on. I appreciate you joining us. And I was wondering if you could start a little bit with kind of background, who you are, what's your professional training, and then we could jump into what happened to you.
I'm an attorney. I'm also a contractor. I have my contractor's license before my law license. I still have a contractor's license. I've had a commercial license, and I have a residential license now. I'm also a developer, and we develop build to rent. Which is why I fly all over the place, rural areas, because we get raw land. I do all the entitlement work myself since I'm the attorney. To get it rezoned and get the stuff through the planning commission, which for me is the easy part, but for a lot of people, that's the hardest part. And so the benefit for my investment team is that they don't have to pay me, right? Because I do all that work, but I get a bigger piece of the pie. And so it's a win for everybody. And then I also teach two classes. I teach a class of construction contracts and law and construction administration at the University of Arkansas, Little Rock, in their construction management program, which is where I got my degree. And I got my law degree at UALR as well. So, you know, all I do, I eat, sleep, breathe construction. And I deal with, you know, from the legal aspect, all, you know, I always tell people that nobody comes to see their attorney when things are going great, because you're not going to pay somebody by the hour to tell them how great everything is. They come see me when they're scared, upset, mad, pissed off, or some combination of those. And so your things, disaster diaries, well, all I deal with my clients in construction is obviously their disasters, whatever it is, whether it's not getting paid on insurance or not getting paid from a GC if they're a sub, or not getting paid from the owner, or not getting money from the bank, or whatever. And so I've been practicing law for 18 years, and I've done exclusively construction and real estate that whole time. And I was a commercial contractor before, it was a commercial GC before that, and I've had a residential license the whole time I've had my law degree. And so that's right. I'm kind of a unicorn in that, and that's why one of the reasons why me and Billy Ward hit it off through NHB, because I've been involved with NHB with Billy for almost 15 years. I met Billy at my first meeting because he's from Louisiana. I didn't know anybody, and we're in Arkansas, which is next to Louisiana. And I was at this meeting, and I saw a bunch of Louisiana people with LSU stuff, and I went over to introduce myself. And Billy asked me if I drank, and I said, "Well, not right this second." And he goes, "Well, let's fix that." And he got me a beer and handed it to me. And he goes, "My name's Billy." And I said, "Well, my name's Jimmy Don." And he goes, "Hell, I know some Jimmys. Let me introduce you to everybody else."
Yeah, thank you. I just think that that's a really important background because you do, it sets the stage for the skills that you are bringing to bear when disaster hit you personally. So do you remember before, slightly before it happened, kind of where you were in your day-to-day life, kind of paint the picture for us, if you will, about what's going on, what's happening, and then how you first found out that something might not be going too well with one of your properties.
Okay, so in on March 31st, 2023, which was a Friday, there was an EF3 tornado that tore through Little Rock, and that's where I live, is Little Rock, Arkansas. And so it started about a half mile from my backyard as a storm. By the time it got to the vacant lot behind my house, it was to an E1. As it tore through my neighborhood, it was an E1. By the time it got through my neighborhood and jumped over this four lane to the next neighborhood, it was up to an E3. And then that's when the devastation. So that tornado was on the ground for, I think, 38 minutes through Little Rock and North Little Rock. And at its widest point, it was 600 yards wide as it was just mowing through. And so it hit our house around 2 o'clock. I was at work downtown, and where I was at work downtown, it wasn't, I mean, it was raining and there was wind, but it didn't come to where I was at. It was on the other side of town where my house was. And so my 5-year-old, was in kindergarten, and they get out at 1:30 on Friday. And my wife works in the NICU at the children's hospital. She has every Friday off, so that way she can, play with my kid when he gets out on a half day. And so she had already left to go pick him up when it hit our house. And so, luckily she wasn't home and my son was at home. But my son's rescue dog that we'd had less than a month, that's a beagle cattle dog, Australian cattle dog beagle mix named Max, because my kid named it after the Grinch's dog from The Grinch That Stole Christmas. Max was at home by herself. And so, but I'll get to that in a minute. And so about 2:30, my neighbor calls, the guy next door, and he's all in a panic, right? And so I answer the phone because he never calls me. He's an older retired gentleman. He literally never calls me unless there's something that's wrong. So he calls and he goes, "Hey, Don, a tornado hit both of our houses." And I was like, "You mean the tornado that's tearing through North Little Rock right now?" Because again, this tornado was on the ground for, I think, 38 minutes. And so when Jerry called me, I'm seeing the news reports on my computer where it's still tearing through Little Rock. And he goes, "Yeah, it hit your house and mine." And I said, "Well, did it hit my house? Did it bounce off the house? Is there still a house there? Could you be a little bit more specific?" He goes, "Well, there's two trees laying in your house." And I was like, "Okay. Are they laying on the house or laying in the house?" And he goes, "One's on, one's in." And I'm like, "Okay." Right. So I'm thinking the worst. And I said, "Well, is there anything else?" He goes, "Yeah, your electrical panel's laying in the backyard." So that the my electrical panel was ripped off the back of the house because we've got overhead power lines in our neighborhood because it's an older neighborhood. And I was like, "Okay." He goes, "Were you coming home?" And I said, "Jerry, the tornado's still tearing through North Little Rock right now. I've got some phone calls to make. I'll be home when I get home." And he was like, "Okay, and then he hung up on me, and he was all in a panic. And so I paused for a second, right? And so the first thing I called was my wife to make sure that, because he didn't say anything about her being home. So I called her, no answer. So I texted her, where are you at? And she texted me back that she was in the they were in the tornado shelter at the Catholic school where my kid goes, because they put them all in there at pickup because the tornado was coming, because it went right, it didn't hit my kid's school, but it went nearby there. Right. So my wife was safe, my kid was safe. And so, I've been through this before with clients. And so the first thing I did was call the guy that owns the insurance agency that I have all my insurance through, because he's a friend of mine. So I called him, no answer. So I texted him, call me back right now. I don't care where you're at, call me right now. So he calls me and he's like, hey man, what's going on? And I was like, my house got hit by a tornado. He goes, you mean the tornado that's still in North Little Rock? And I said, yeah, that one. And he goes, what are you doing? And I said, I'm calling to start a claim. And he goes, what do you mean? And I said, dude, first to file is first to get paid. He laughed. He goes, you're right, Don. First to file is first to get paid. I'm at home. When I get off the phone, I'll log in and I'll start a claim number and I'll email it to you. And I said, okay, great. That's all I need. And then I hung up on him. Right, because that was done. And so then I called my electrician, right? Because Jerry told me that the electrical panel was in my backyard, because energy ain't gonna reconnect my power if the electrical panel isn't connected. And I didn't know, right? So I called him and he was like hemming and hawing. I'm like, dude, I don't really care what you got going on. I need you at my house in the morning. He goes, dude, it's Saturday. I said, I don't care. I don't have power. I'll see you there in the morning. What time can you be there? And he goes, well, what about 9? And I said, well, what about 7? And he goes, I'll be there at 8. And so I hung up the phone. So then I called my roofer, right? Walter, the guy that I use for all my build-to-rent roofing stuff. And I'm like, hey, Walter, what's going on? And he's like, oh, nothing, And I said, I got two trees on my house from that tornado. And he goes, oh, what do you want me to do? And I was like, I need you to be at my house in the morning so we can get this fixed. And he goes, what time? And I said, the electrician's going to be there at 8. He goes, I'll be there before 8. Right, so I hung up the phone with him.
Wait, and just to be clear, you still haven't been home yet. This is all just from your
This was
neighbor's
within
history.
10 minutes of Jerry calling me,
Wow.
because I know how this thing goes. You gotta act quick. So I put a new roof on that house back in 2010, right? So I called my lumber yard guy that does all my build to rent stuff, right? My lumber rep. And I'm like, hey Adam, I'm like, hey dude, I got a tornado hit my house. And he's like, man, I can't do anything. I'm doing, I'm at my kid's baseball game. And I said, dude, when you get home tonight, I need you to pull up the records from when I re-roofed my house, and I need you to order light gray shingles, and I need to have those delivered Monday. And he kind of paused and laughed. He goes, all right, man. He goes, I might not get it there Monday, but I'll have it there by Tuesday if I have to deliver it myself. And I'm like, okay, that's all I need. Good luck. And he hangs up. And right. So now in my mind, I've got my roof taken care of. Right. I've got the electrical. And so then I thought for a second and I was like, oh crap, I'm not going to have power. And so I logged into my Home Depot account, because there's a Home Depot about a mile from my house. And I went into the rental section and I rented a chainsaw and the biggest generator that they had available. After I got the confirmation number, then I called Home Depot and it didn't go through. And I figured that they were having issues because of, the tornado went through there. Well, the rental manager, the guy that manages the rental department, he has a lake house near my lake house. So I call him and he's like, hey man, what's up? And I said, are you at work? And he goes, well, the power's out. And I was like, dude, you got a generator in there. He goes, you're right. We've got generators and we're hooking them up. And I said, well, I just reserved a chainsaw and a generator. And he kind of laughed and he goes, of course, Don. He goes, we're trying to get our power on and you're reserving everything. And I said, well, do you have a chainsaw and a generator? And he goes, yeah, I got a few. And I said, well, go ahead and mark one for me and I'll pick it up in the morning. What time are you going to be there? And he goes, we're going to open it at 7. And I said, okay, great. I'll be there when you open. Right. So I gave him the confirmation number and I hung up. And then I started looking right at the energy outages and it was a mess everywhere. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to wait for some of the idiotness to go down. And then, because by this point, it's 2:45, right? Because I got the call at 2. And so, and my wife was fine. I talked to her and she was going to her mom's house. And so everything was good. And so I was like, well, let me get some work done because it's Friday. And then I remembered, I was like, crap, if we've got a hole in our house. So then I called the property manager for the build to rent project because I had just sold a 360 unit project like 9 months before. So I called him and I was like, hey, dude, I'm gonna need a place to live. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, well, that tornado just came through and it dropped two trees in my house. He goes, so? And I said, dude, it's the 31st. You're gonna have rent, you're gonna have stuff open tomorrow, right? And he goes, yeah, but we gotta clean them. And I said, I don't care. And I said, I need something by Friday. And I need a 3-bedroom, 2-bath or a 2-bedroom, 2-bath. But I gotta have something by Friday. I am not gonna live with my mother-in-law for the next 6 months while I rebuild my house. And he was like, okay, I'll see what I can do. Come by tomorrow, right? And I was like, all right, fine. So then I drove home. So it took my normal 15-minute trip home took 3 hours because there's trees down and power lines in the streets and all this stuff. I took every back road I could. I got within probably 2 miles of my house and then parked my truck on the side of the road. Walk the rest of the way with my briefcase because as I was driving home, I remembered that my kid's dog, Max, that we had rescued less than a month, was at home by herself. So I finally got home at like 6:30. I got home and our house was destroyed. I mean, one of my neighbor's trees took out our master bedroom, took out half the roof. I ended up having to rebuild 90%, 85 to 90% of our house. Was taken to the studs. We even had to we had to take the living room, both hallways, the master bath, the master bedroom, and one of the other 2 bedrooms and the dining room down to the floor joists because it rained that night, and so water got into the walls, and so we had to rip out all the walls because all the insulation because of mold and all that. So we had to take everything down to the studs and the floor joists. So I went in the house and I called Max. She comes running out of the house and leaped into my arms, shivering, and was so happy to see me. And then when my kid came home, she was happy to see him. To this day, if she hears a loud noise or something, she's got PTSD. I can tell you right now that my wife and I are thankful that nobody died or anything. We were both extremely happy that nothing happened to that dog because we had a 13-year-old beagle that died the Saturday before Christmas in 2018, which was traumatic for my kid. And so this was his replacement, and there was no way that I could fix the house, but we were so thankful that on top of nobody getting hurt, but we didn't have to deal with the emotional thing of explaining to my kid that his new dog had died. So that was our Right, that was our saving grace. And my wife was all panicky because it was a house she had before we got married. And I told her, and I said, look, sweetie, you're going to basically get a new house for the price of the deductible. I'll fix everything the insurance pays for, and I'll fix stuff that insurance doesn't pay for because I'll be able to do it cheaper since I'm doing most of the work. But we're going to do it right. And it was a cluster, right? And so that next morning, I went to Home Depot. I was there at 6:30. The guy got there early. I got the biggest generator they had, and I got a chainsaw. And then there were a ton of people coming in behind me that were all like, aggressive, wanting to get stuff. And the guy goes, "Don ordered paid for this yesterday, right?" And they were like, "Well, how did you do that?" And I was like, "I went online on the Home Depot website with my pro account and registered and reserved it and paid for it, right?" And I paid for both of those for a week because I didn't know how long it was going to be. And by the time I got back to my house, right, my roofer was there, and the electrician scavenged to get enough parts. And Sunday morning, he put a new panel on and reattached everything, so that way, whenever energy got the line fixed, they could connect it to my house. Saturday morning, the roofer was there with a ton of tarps, and so me and him crawled up on the roof. But here's the key: before we tarped it, I probably took 300 photos. I took a ton of photos Friday when we got home. I took photos of everything I could. All the water damage on the inside of the ceiling and the drywall, everything where there were holes. I did it. So I did it Friday when I got home. And then Friday night after it got dark, I went and took photos again because sometimes you can see water stuff better when it's dark with a flashlight than you can in daylight. And so I photoed everything. And then Saturday morning, I got up on the roof and photoed everything. I mean, I probably took 200 photos of the roof from every angle that I could of every single thing. And then we tarped what we could. I spent Saturday and Sunday on the roof with a chainsaw and cut those two trees off because my insurance policy, because I'm one of those dorks that reads their insurance policy, gives me $2,500 a tree. And that's it. I get $2,500 a tree. And I have a maximum of three trees. And so each of my neighbors hired tree people. One of them got a bill for 15 grand, one of them got a bill for 19 grand.
Wow.
And they signed paperwork saying that they were responsible for whatever the insurance company didn't pay. And I told them not to sign it. And they told me that the tree people told them that they weren't going to enforce that. And what did the tree people do later? They sued both of my neighbors for the balance that the insurance company didn't pay. Right. And so I climbed up on the roof and did it myself. The insurance company paid us 4 grand of the 5 grand because they took our $1,000 deductible out of the tree part that Sustainable Construction, my construction company, charged to us, right? And then the rest of it was covered by insurance. And my roofer came by Saturday night to help me tarp, and then he came by Sunday and Sunday night. And then Monday, he came by to tighten everything up. Well, Tuesday morning, all my shingles and everything were delivered. I had a new roof Wednesday at like noon because we had a bunch of framing that had to be redone. So we did that on Monday. And then Tuesday, the stuff was delivered. He got everything started Tuesday. And then finished it up Wednesday, right?
So
So we were
Don,
in the dry Wednesday.
I got a
What's
question.
that?
So, and I'm not in construction, but I'm curious, how did it work putting a new roof on a structure that had so much damage otherwise? You talked about the walls, you talked about tearing things down. I mean, can you put the roof on first before you have the integrity to hold it up? I mean, how does that work?
Well, the walls weren't damaged. It was the roof that was damaged. The walls had water damage because all the rain, when the rain came through. And
Okay.
so we got the roof on to get it in the dry. And then once we got the roof on, because it rained Saturday night, Sunday night, and then it rained again on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday the next week. So we got it on Tuesday and Wednesday right before it rained again on Thursday. And so once we got the roof on, right, that next weekend when it was raining again, I was there with a claw hammer and a pry bar ripping the walls out where all the water was.
So you've got a new roof, and your neighbors that had damage are sitting there with the rain coming in day after day, right?
That's correct because so the one neighbor, he's an engineer and a realtor, so he knows more than anybody. So, right, he wasn't going to listen to anything. Jerry, the guy that called me, I told him because I'd put in a new roof on his house back in 2012. And I told him, I said, Jerry, I can replace your roof while I'm doing mine, and it'll be cheaper because my guys are already here. If they've got to come, you know, because the mobilization fees is waived. He goes, well, I talked to my insurance company, and they said, don't do it till the adjuster comes out. And I said, you don't have to wait for the adjuster. All you got to do is take pictures.
So I
He didn't
want
want to do it, so it
to
was
you.
2 months before he got a new roof.
So this is, I think you just hit on something really important. This aha moment, at least on my side, is you've been telling the story of all the things you did, and at no point did I hear an insurance adjuster being involved. And that's, to me, that is so opposite than what the conventional wisdom is. Because, like your neighbor, I would be thinking, it's almost like we think about it like a crime scene, right? It's like, don't touch anything till the cops show up, right? So we put the insurance company in this category in our head of, well, they're the ones that are running the show. What would you say to all of us who have that impression?
An adjuster didn't come out to my house until 3 weeks later. 3 weeks after the tornado. I already had my power back on, right? Because I had the electrical panel on there and energy hooked up my power. Half my street didn't have electricity to their house because the power company. If there's any damage to the service panel on the outside, they will not reconnect until it's brought up to code. Well, we live in an older neighborhood, so some of those weren't up to code. So, like I said, so my guy had to put a brand new one on. I mean, it was 15 grand for the electrical service, right? I was lucky that I could pay for that. Not everybody has that opportunity. But when the adjuster came out, he goes, "We didn't get to see the old one." I showed him a picture. I said, "Well, here's the old one laying in the yard." I was like, I've got it out. I've got it underneath the house in the crawl space if you want to look at it. And he goes, well, what good is that going to do me? And I said, well, it was laying in the yard, so I had to get a new one because energy wasn't going to connect if I didn't. And he goes, well, why did you put a roof on? And I said, because I had two trees on it, right? Here's the photos. And he goes, well, I didn't approve that. And I said, dude, you're an adjuster. You don't approve anything. So I don't care what you say or what you want. I've got the photos. I did this. And he goes, well, why'd you do it before we gave you permission? I said, because I'm mitigating your loss. If I would not have done that, your company would pay more money. Your company will thank me, whoever is above you, because I saved your company money. Because if I wouldn't have done that, then this house would have been a total loss as opposed to what it is now. There's some good adjusters out there, but most of the adjusters are part-time. They're independent. They're not licensed contractors. They're not engineers. You know, they're reading off their iPad. I went through seven adjusters, seven field adjusters, and three in-office adjusters until finally I got one who, when she got on, she goes, Mr. Overton, I have a question for you. And I said, sure. And she goes, are you some kind of an attorney? And I said, yes, ma'am. And she goes, what kind of law? And I said, I do construction real estate law. She goes, well, I'm looking over your file and I kind of figured that. So from this point forward, you just send us bills and we're going to pay them.
So to be fair, your neighbor doesn't have that advantage, or the average Joe, probably because you present yourself as somebody who knows what the hell he's doing, and you're just going to tell him this is what it is. But for our listeners out there who have just lost something in a tornado or fire or whatever, and I've been through the same thing. I too was terrified of the adjuster. We had a hole in our roof which was getting rained on as well, and I was afraid to put a tarp on it.
So in May of that year, there was tornadoes that went through Northwest Arkansas where my wife's father lives, and a tree hit his house. It was 2 weeks before an adjuster came out. It was a month before they got a quote, and I kept telling them, like, dude, just get it fixed. Just fix it and they'll pay for it. My own father-in-law wouldn't listen to me. So why would one of my neighbors?
So, Don,
Fair enough.
Right?
I want to go back to what Evan was saying a second ago. It's like you went up to a speakeasy and you had the secret password to get in, right? So, do you have any advice or tips or tricks that the normal average person could use to maybe let the insurance company know that they're not going to be, put at a disadvantage automatically just because they don't know what they're doing?
Well, so the first thing that people need to understand is that knowledge is power, right? That's the first thing. The second thing people need to understand is that everyone is conflict averse. Everyone. I'm not because I'm an attorney, right? I do this for a living. But my point is that people need to understand that just because they are conflict averse, they need to remember that the adjusters are too. So when you tell that adjuster, I am mitigating my loss, I need to preserve my property. I've got to do whatever is best to preserve my property. That's the key. So mitigating the loss is the key phrase for the insurance companies because they cannot refute that. Here's the other thing too that people need to understand. Insurance companies are in the business to collect premiums and not pay claims. Insurance companies are companies. Companies don't have a soul. Companies don't do the right thing. Companies do what's best for their shareholders to make the most profit. And I know I sound cynical saying this, but that's just the reality of life. When a disaster happens, the first thing you have to remember is that there's only one way to eat an elephant, and that's one bite at a time. And so you can't do everything at once. You can't accomplish everything at once. You need to think about what's the most important thing, what's the thing that's causing me the most distress at this moment, and tackle that one. Just like with my house, right? The electrical panel was in the backyard. That told me if I didn't get an electrician out there as soon as possible, then there was going to be a backlog and I would not be able to get power back to my house without that. Me and my dog spent 10 days living in that house with no electricity and power until the power did get turned on to keep looters away. But you got to take tons of pictures. You can't fix it without pictures. And once we got all that submitted, they didn't even question it. They didn't even question it at all. Another thing too is that nobody reads their policy. I got burned on one thing that I didn't realize, and I feel, and at the time I was embarrassed, but I tell everybody now. So my policy had an exclusion in there for structures that were not attached to the house. There was no depreciation recovery, right? So that means our fence, my kids' play treehouse fort thing that was in the backyard. Our grills, right? And so we took it. So our fence, because it was 10 years old, I think we got $500 for our fence. It cost me 12 grand to rebuild the fence. I tell everybody now to read your policy on, because if you've got a detached garage, under my policy, If that detached garage was the same age as the house, you basically wouldn't get anything for it because it would have been depreciated out on a 20-year house.
So can you talk a little bit about, there are companies out there that will swoop in and set up machines that you need to have, you have to have, you better get it right now to dry out your place, right? And
Yep.
they will potentially take advantage of people who don't know what's going on, who are stressed, who want to do something, anything, right? That feels like it's the right move, and then essentially eat away at what you could otherwise use to rebuild your home. Is that something that you see as a theme?
That is, and actually, once we got it in the dry, right, we were contacted by one of those people through our adjuster. The adjusters will recommend their buddies to do work. And their buddies will overcharge more than the adjuster approves. And so then I asked the people in the office, right? I said, "Who have you used in the past in the area?" And I said, "I need five people." They gave me five people. I called all five. And then the one that I decided on, they gave me their contract, and it said that, that I'd be responsible for the difference. And I marked through that and I said, "I'm not going to pay. All you're going to get is what they pay. You're not going to get a penny more than they pay." And she goes, "Well, that's not the way we do it." And I said, "Well, then I'll hire somebody else." Right. And then she came back the next day and said, "Well, we'll agree to that." They were in and out of there in 3 days. I found more water damage after that, but they got most of it out. And then they documented. And then I went back with that woman, the owner, to make sure that she redocumented the other stuff that I had found after they finished. We started out at a $70,000 claim and ended up with a $145,000 claim.
I was watching some video. I don't remember what it was, but it was some kind of a seminar on this topic. And something that the speaker said stuck out to me as so obvious, but nobody had ever said it this simply before, is remember, an estimate is an estimate. It is not the final payout. It's an estimate, right? That's the word, right? Or we get our settlement notice, and settlement sounds final. That's the settlement. That's it. But there's room, right, to go back and say, well, you missed something.
They would send me their estimate, and I'm like, "It's going to cost more than this to fix this." And they're like, "Well, prove it." Okay, right? So I'd get the contractor to give me an estimate. "Well, this is what their estimate is." And I'd tell them, "Put an extra 10% in there on a contingency just to make sure so that we don't have to do this again with the insurance company," right? So I'd send it to the insurance company, and they'd say, "Well, this seems high." I'm like, "Well, this is the estimate. When it's done, I'll give you the invoice. And the invoice is less, you can pay me less." One last thing on the insurance is that most people don't have a code upgrade rider on their insurance because that's how insurance salesmen will get you a cheaper policy because it doesn't have a code upgrade rider. And if you don't have a code upgrade rider, then the insurance company is only going to pay to replace your structure to the existing state it was at before it was damaged. And if your house was built 20 years ago, it wasn't built to code, and then you got to pay for those code upgrades out of pocket.
And that ain't cheap. Every time we talk to somebody, the question comes up, should I hire an attorney to advocate for me with the insurance company? What's your take on that?
I mean, after that tornado went through, I had several clients that called me months later. "Hey, I've been having problems with my insurance company." I'm like, "Dude, why didn't you call me when this happened?" "Well, because I didn't want to have to pay." And I'm like, "Well, you're going to pay more now. If you'd have called me then, I could have told you in 10 minutes what to say and how to do it, so that way they would have known that you were coached by somebody that knew what they were talking about, and you'd have been paid." When it comes down to it, yeah, but if you get the wrong attorney, they're going to do the wrong thing. I'll tell you two things on that. So the way people need to think about court is that most judges have an English history, art history, political science, liberal arts degree that they took so they could get good grades to go into law school. They don't know anything about math. They don't know anything about science. They don't know anything about construction. And they've never read a contract and would fall asleep reading it just like you or I would. It's difficult. So you need to find somebody that has that knowledge, and there's not a whole lot of them. And I'll tell you this too. So I've got, because I do mostly construction law, right? And I have a dog, and most of my clients have dogs. And I did this mediation seminar in Texas a few years ago and met this older Texas attorney with the polyester leisure suits, with the cowboy hat and his boots and the bolo tie for 3 days of this mediation seminar, and wore different suit, different hat, and different cowboy boots every day. Right? We had assigned seating, so we had to sit next to each other. He didn't even talk to me the first 2 days, right? The third day, he finally came around and we were talking, and he looked at me and he goes, "Don, you do construction law?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And he goes, any of your clients have dogs? And I said, sir, all of my clients have dogs. My dog comes with me to work every day. He goes, well, the next time one of your clients wants to go to court, you tell them this. Tell them to imagine that there's one veterinarian in their town, and he's got a twin brother that's a taxidermist. So whenever anything goes wrong with your dog, you're going to take it to that vet. You're going to get your dog back, but there ain't no guarantee which one of them brothers is going to be the one that gives it to you. And that's going to court. Right, either the vet or the taxidermist, one of them is going to give you your dog back. Right, so that's the same thing, using some random attorney to try to negotiate on your behalf with the insurance company. If they don't know what they're talking about, right, the taxidermist is giving you your dog back.
It sounds like almost the best thing to do is to fake it till you make it, do as much research as you can, be aggressive, and don't be afraid to cross out clauses that don't that look fishy, because if you don't, you're going to get stuck in this protocol wheel, and it's not
Yep.
always in your best interest. And I think it sounds like exactly the same thing. You have to advocate on your on behalf of yourself here.
All you have to do is stand up for yourself and ask questions. And if you do that, then doors will open and the insurance company will be more accommodating and help you get stuff fixed if you're just 1% assertive. Just 1%, because no one else is.
Is there ever a moment where the training falls aside for a minute and you're kind of taking in what actually happened?
I deal with stress a lot as an attorney. As a contractor, if you go to a job site and you don't know what's going on, it just looks like, a huge cluster, right? It's I always tell people that a job site is just organized chaos. And so that's kind of the as you said, step aside. I looked at the house and I'm looking at it. I looked at it. My brain instantly looked at it as a construction project of, what do I need to do next to get this fixed? When my kid came home that night, he was a wreck, right? Because the house, my son's sense of security, disappeared, and he like laid on the ground in the grass bawling because he was freaking out that, our house was destroyed, right? And so I held him and, told him that it was a big okay, and that I'd fix everything and it'd be better than it was before. And he didn't believe me because he was, 4. But what I did do is, after we got it demoed and I started putting the house back together, I took him there every day and we crawled underneath the house and I showed him where the water lines are and where the waste lines are. And when we redid all the electrical and the mechanical, and so I showed him where a light switch, when you click on the switch, where the power, where the electrical wire that comes into the switch and where it goes to the light, because we replaced all of our lights. And I showed him on some of the plumbing stuff. Me and him crawled underneath and re-insulated all the water lines. And so I showed him how everything went back together, right? And I showed him how the insulation went in. And when we did, and the drywallers were in there, I showed him, we went in there after they hung it, and then when they taped it and floated it, and then they textured it. And so he got to see it rebuilt. And so every day when mom would come home from work, he would tell her all the things that he had learned that day of how to build a house. He loves our house now, right? Because it's no longer something that was damaged and destroyed, because he saw it get put back together.
So as we wrap up, Evan's got a question for everybody at the end.
So the question is this: what would you say to somebody who lost their home literally 5 minutes ago?
Well, the first thing I would ask is, are your loved ones safe? And do you know where they're at? And is there any issue with any of that? Because that's first, right? Because everything else can be rebuilt or replaced, but family can't. The second thing is, do you have a place to stay? And do you have family or friends? And because if you don't have a bed to sleep in tonight, you are not going to be able to process this moving forward. And so your fam make sure your family's safe first. Make sure that you have a place for you and your family to sleep tonight, because you've got to reestablish a sense of safety and security and serenity with your family, and you can't do that if you don't have a place tonight. Once you get those two things taken care of, everything else can be fixed, can be rebuilt, or replaced.
This entire conversation, you've been very practical about the steps for construction and navigating the process. But when we asked you what's the first thing that you would do, you mentioned none of that. You mentioned what was really important before you even get to any of those first things. So that's That just stuck with me.
But y'all have a great time and thanks for having me on. All
Thank you
right,
so
Todd,
much. I
really good to meet
appreciate
you,
it.
man. You too.
See you later. Bye.
Thanks.
Holy cow, what a force of nature, Don. It's
I'm telling you, so I was like, I have to have this guy on. And I mean, we could have talked to him for another 6 hours just for advice.
he did everything right. And you really can't do that unless you have his base of knowledge or you're willing to fake it. I mean, I don't have the cojones to go up to somebody and tell them that I'm doing loss mitigation and I'm going to cross this out of the contract and you can take it or leave it. I mean, maybe I would now that I've listened to him. And, I know enough to be dangerous, but I mean, he's got the legal side covered. He knows the insurance part and he knows the construction part. And, just the fact that he was up and running in 10 months is I would be willing to bet that we are not going to come across another person on this podcast that we interview that could be back in business within 10 months with a new house.
He started like the next day. So he started first and then sounds like he finished towards the end of his neighbors.
It's amazing. Like that's one of my big takeaways was the first claim, first paid. It's speed is critical. And if your common sense is telling you, my stuff's getting rained on, the insurance company doesn't want me to put a tarp on there, something's off here. Well, trust your gut. It's the same thing you do in the hospital. It's the same thing you do anywhere. You have to just decide, I'm gonna do what I need to do first and then try to get them to do what they're supposed to do later, which is scary because as an attorney, like you said, he's not averse to conflict. So he goes in guns blazing. He's got the confidence to do it.
And
Most people don't.
yeah, and document everything, right? That's the other thing. I mean, he can go in guns blazing, but if he didn't have the pictures of the roof before construction, if he didn't have, that the picture of the box down in the backyard, never mind it under the house, but if you don't have something to actually substantiate, some physical evidence to substantiate the way it was before, even he couldn't have been, in that great of a position. And then the other thing is, again, we have this theme of reading your insurance policy. And again, that's why we built Policy Advisor. So if you download Policy Advisor, you can upload your insurance policy that, again, he's an attorney. He's used to reading it. It sounds like it's still boring for him to read. But if you upload your own, then you can just interact with Policy Advisor and find out what is my coverage? Where should I be worried? How do I stack up against, best practices coverage on this? And ask the type of questions that even the one that he missed.
Absolutely. Yeah. Eat
So,
the for the elephant.
yeah, there you go. Born to eat the
Yeah.
elephant.
Yeah.
All right, Evan.
All
I
right. That
appreciate
was a
it,
good
man.
one.
I'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks for listening to Disaster Diaries. And if you're moved by these stories, please like, subscribe, leave a review. That will really help us. And also, please share the show with somebody that you think needs it. To tell your own story, download the Disaster Diaries app, available at all app stores, or visit disasterdiaries.com. And if you're looking for help rebuilding, check out buildsos.com for support, tools, and resources to help you better prepare for, respond to, and recover from disasters. Hey there. Just a reminder that this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not legal, financial, or insurance advice. Disaster Diaries and Build SOS do not endorse any specific products, services, methods, or guest viewpoints discussed here. So please always consult qualified professionals for decisions related to disaster preparedness, construction, or insurance.